Tonight we're going to look at the topic of discipleship. Another word for discipleship is training. What is the purpose of discipleship? Discipling, and in our context would be in the family context. So what is the goal? Spiritual reproduction. Dominion. We've been talking about dominion. This is the whole goal of what our focus is. The focus of us as fathers, as parents, as it's dominion is, another word for dominion is just kingdom advancement. It's God's will being done and implemented in the dusty aspects of life. So discipleship ultimately is dominion. We want God's kingdom to impact the world, and that's why we're discipling our children. That's why we're discipling ourselves and being trained and equipped. On the most fundamental level, how has God ordained for the kingdom to advance, for this dominion to be implemented? Families. Okay, so the most fundamental level, this is his ultimate plan of dominion, which he gave to Adam and Eve, is through the family. This is how it's going to work. This is how it's going to be worked out. Now, the local congregation plays a part, and there's different aspects that play a part in the whole thing. But the family unit is the cutting edge and the momentum for kingdom advancement. So it's not only pushing that edge through, it's also got the weight behind it to keep this momentum going and keep it pushing generationally across the ages. So that's what I mean by momentum. The family is integral to both true reformation and the sustaining of true reformation. Family is not in sync. We might get flashes of stuff, but there's not going to be a true sustained reformation that will keep moving forward. So do you appreciate how much significance the Lord has placed upon the family unit? You know, when that starts to dawn upon you and you realize this is an incredibly important unit in his whole thrust of everything he's doing, then we start to realize the importance of something like discipleship, of training, and reaching those goals that he has laid out in that particular area. When we realize that, discipleship is no longer a side issue. It's no longer a, well, we can tack that on somewhere, and I've got a life to live, and I've got these goals to accomplish, and I've got these ambitions to fulfill, and it no longer becomes that. It's now, this becomes the central issue. It's a critical component of dominion or kingdom advancement. Decentralized units, families, prepared by the master according to his own uniquely distributed callings in the context of family life. That's what you're doing. You've got these decentralized entities thrusting forward according to what God has called them to do. Why do I emphasize unique callings carried out in the context of family life? That's the thrust. That's how it's going. Unique callings carried out in the context of family life. Because it's unique and it's carried out in these little units because that's what keeps it decentralized. I tell you, our tendency is to Babel, to the one structure that we congregate to and build these massive structures and empires and feel our security and our confidence in everybody else doing this, and we've got so many numbers involved in this campaign. That is our natural tendency, and whether it's in the state, whether it's in the church, wherever you find it, that's what we gravitate toward. And I believe the family unit breaks that down and keeps it decentralized, and I believe that's why God has placed such an emphasis and a thrust upon the family unit. Also, if it wasn't a unique, specific calling in each family, we're sitting here learning as a group because there are similarities that we're doing, but the family unit itself is very unique in its calling and its implementation of its own specific calling by God. Each family is going to be very different. And the reason God keeps it like that is otherwise, what's going to happen other than just this idea of Babel, but how are we going to train? Sausage machine. Bring everyone together and train them this way. So, the most basic unit in the working of the kingdom is the family. Thus, preparing effective family units is best obtained by what kind of context? Family context. That's the environment, that's the context where the unit is best equipped and trained. Because that is the unit that is the thrust and the cutting edge of kingdom work. So, we don't want to say this is the cutting edge of kingdom work and then train in a different environment. I'm going to prepare a jungle warfare specialist soldier in the Arctic. You know, that's kind of misconnect. I'll put him in the jungle after 6 years of training in the Arctic and he's going to be very unprepared. So that's why the family becomes so critical. So we have the goal. What's the goal? Dominion. How do we know what dominion looks like? What's it supposed to look like? Word of God. Scripture. Is there anything that, well, we can say dominion. We can all have a million ideas about what dominion looks like, but it's dominion is the Word of God. Let me tell you, this is what the Word of God says with respect to this. And it's dominion through what? Godly character. That's what its dominion is about. Godly character. Academic achievement must be secondary to godly character. It must come as something that is second to it and flows out of it. Must never get ahead of that. So the goal is generational dominion through means of the family. That's what it is. That's the goal. And that's when we sit down and we think, okay, what's my purpose here? That's your purpose. There it is. It's clear. Okay, the details now need to be worked out, and we need to learn how to do that. But that's the purpose. I'm here for one purpose only. That's dominion. How do I do that? It's through the family. How? Through my family now, because I'm a leader of a family, or I'm preparing for a family. So I'm focusing my attention all on that. What does it mean? What does it require? And how do I do this? When we embrace the goal, then we're confronted with the challenge of how do we get there? And that's what basically we're wrestling through. How do we get there in our circumstances? What needs to be remembered is that training has been taking place, because now we're coming to the how do we get there. Training has been taking place even when we didn't quite understand what we're supposed to be doing. We've been training. We're always training, no matter what we're doing. It's either good training or it's bad training, but we are training. And we are establishing habit patterns, we are establishing ways of behaving, ways of thinking, we are reinforcing goals and objectives. The only question is, has this training that I've been giving been from a biblical perspective or not? And then when it hasn't, it means the habits that have been learnt are very likely not biblical habits. Because that's, we all operate by habits. The only reason we know how to tie our shoelaces is because of habit. It's done it enough times, now we know how to do it. It's a habit. Okay, it takes you long, some people longer to learn, but that's what it is. So you can have a very mixed bag on this. Not everything that you've learned is wrong. Everything you're doing is basically by habit, and some are good habits and some are bad habits. So to suddenly see that something, what something ought to look like, does not solve the dilemma that you suddenly realize, sure, I've got a problem here. I've got a problem in my family. When you realize that, that's not the solution to your problem. Because you've still got to shift the family, your own thinking, from this position to the correct position. And that's not it's not just an instance, because I read a verse, now I understand, bang, now that's where we're going to be. Now this is where it comes down to the dusty aspect. How do we actually change direction when we've been going in one particular direction? How do I actually shift that, which is a challenge? The first thing to realize is that when you are seeing the fruit of your training methods, those training methods that are not in line with God's word, when you see the fruit of that, then it means your training methods need revision. Say, okay, I've been training in the wrong direction. Basically, the buck comes back to me. I've got to readjust my training methods. An uninvolved father is a form of training. It's a form of discipling. If he's not connected, if he's not involved in the direction of the family, he is training them. But as I said, when you realize that you haven't been training the way you should, the change is not instant. Part of wisdom, which is applied truth, is how do I now shift this Queen Mary ship from there onto a new course. Most of what you've inherited, what we inherited with respect to our understanding about training, is probably defective. Realizing this forces us to turn to the Lord for His wisdom, to become self-consciously biblical, in other words, which is in line with our first course. I need to become self-consciously biblical because I realize that most of what I have and understood has been defective. And now we should be afraid to just fire from the hip, so to speak, to give instant answers to our dilemmas. So we turn to the Lord for His wisdom. So the goal remains dominion. And the way we know what dominion looks like is the law word of God, which is His word, what He has said, every word from His mouth. So we know that. Okay, so this is not difficult. So then you say, okay, it's dominion. The way I get there is God's word. So then you consider, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing to the Lord. Colossians 3:20. So you hear that and you say, okay. And obviously those commands just refer to curfews, you know, the big issues in life. If they break the curfew, then they're in trouble. That's how our thinking is. We have our pecking order of what those verses apply to. It's not as straightforward, children, obey your parents in the Lord. It's kind of, well, I've got my important things here. But that indicates that, do we take the word seriously? Is this a word that I'm obeying? What about the smaller issues, the smaller commands? How important are those in our training and discipling? You see, it's not usually that we don't really know how to train. I think a lot of our problem is trying to come to God's word in a sense where we embrace it and say, you know, I'm going to take this word at face value. I'm going to hold on to it, and I'm going to seek to apply it at face value, looking to God for His standard. So the goal is clear. The standard defining the goal is clear. So when the scriptures say, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, what does that have to do with dominion? What does it have to do with dominion? Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. How central is that to the dominion mandate? How critical to the whole purpose of God on the earth, working through His people? And suddenly it takes on a new light, and you're saying, wow, without this dominion goal is unobtainable. Absolutely unobtainable. My responsibility cannot be fulfilled. And suddenly it brings things into perspective. And you're saying, whoa, this changes the light of things. This changes how I should view what is going on. This changes how I even view how my family functions and how I relate. So if you believe this, if you submit to that fundamental statement, then obedience to your words shoots up on the priority list as a parent. Suddenly they've just jumped from somewhere here, whatever that is on the scale, whether it's middle or bottom. It should shoot it up to the top. When you put it in the perspective of God's purposes, it pushes it up. Because dominion cannot be achieved without it. So disobedience can be open defiance. It can be that. To heck with you. Do it yourself. Okay, now, that's probably not much that you'd come across in your families. It can be attitude. It can be facial expressions. All those reveal certain things as to how the command has been received and accepted. That's the wonderful thing about training children, as in God's mind, the wonderful benefit of training children from infants in a godly way. Because of their own pliability, while they're sinful beings in such, they haven't got these established bad habits. And you can focus on a few small things at a time. You can just focus on one or two things and train the word no. You know, you can get them to understand no. And once you allow that to go past for a number of years, however many years that is, and now you're stepping in to try and train, it's a lot more complex because life is a lot faster, there's a lot more dynamics involved, and it's not as easy. So that's the challenge. When you suddenly realize, I'm on the wrong track, how do I shift this? How do I pull it into line when this infant's got restricted mobility? You can put him in his, call it a playpen, I don't know what you call it. It's got his jail, his bars and stuff. And, you know, it's restricted, you can control it, you can teach these principles and policies, and it's a lot easier. But the motivation to give the time and the effort to training is for what? Dominion. That's what it is. That's why I have the energy. That's why I must do it. Dominion according to God's law word with generational impact. This is what it's about. And this is why you can focus. This is why you can cut other things out of your life and say, look, these things fall away into insignificance because this is what I'm doing. This is the purpose and the goal that I'm thrusting. So I want to suggest a principle that you can apply to really any aspect of life when you realize that you're far away from where you should be. We can apply it to training and discipline, discipleship, but you can apply it to many different things because you can... Each of us can look at our life in some particular area and say, whoa, I've got a long way to go. And so how do we get there? One way is to just try and make this huge leap in an instant and find yourself falling down this chasm and, you know, you give up in despondency and stuff. I think there's a very important need for some real tools to hold on to in order to make that shift, to get the Queen Mary to change directions. What we need are focused, achievable steps toward the ultimate goal. So we're saying, okay, I know where I want to go. This is where I am. What is the first step, second step? How do I get there? And make these incremental shifts in moving towards that goal. If you want to run a marathon, you don't just get up and go and run 26 miles. We sometimes, when we come to the area of training and stuff, we throw out all the clear things that are around us that we'll do in many other things where we'll, you know, do these gradual, you know, Dave rushing to put the roof on before he's built the walls. I've got to get that roof up. You know, you can't do that, guys. So we know there's these steps. We got to do these basic steps to get us to a certain position. But somehow we sometimes forget that when we're trying to make a change, particularly when we come onto a realization later on in life and there's all these habits and bad things that have been learned and ways of relating. It's all incremental changes that need to be done. So we need small, specific, achievable goals towards the ultimate goal. So it's the same when we're discipling our children, whether we do the same thing. We need to realize that when we see something that is not right and we need to change that, we're not training them, we are retraining them. This shouldn't be. No, but you've trained that. So now you're retraining. And so keep that in mind. I've got to retrain what I've trained. That's what I'm doing. I'm actually retraining something here. And this retraining is important to keep before your eyes because it helps you keep for yourself and for the person you're training the bigger picture. Keep the vision and the goal. This is where we're going. This is what we're trying to accomplish. This is why we're trying to get there. But this is the steps we need to take in order to get there. And so this is how we're going to go about it. And so we're working now as a team. I'm trying to train you to get to that position. Train these habits and these better ways of doing things. So you keep the goal before the eyes of the people you're training, as well as design the program to undo bad habits and reinforce good habits and strengthen good habits. That's what you're doing. So if bad habits are everywhere, you can't fix everything at once. So you've got to decide, okay, what is critical here? What would be a critical step that's going to build, lay a foundation so I can build upon it? How do we do that? And depending on the ages and what the circumstances are, you need to identify the most effective place to begin. Let's pick an illustration. You've got an 8-year-old child who has a face when he's given a command or something he doesn't really want to do. He gives that face. He still does it. So he's not talking about just blowing you off, but it's kind of that attitude written everywhere, body expression. Now you need to realize, I trained this. This is the fruit of my training. Now I've got to retrain this, okay? So you sit down and you explain. You know, this is, let me just describe to you what you do when I give you a command that you don't like. This is your body language, okay? This is unacceptable. And we need to shift it to where you give and offer cheerful obedience. So what I'm assuming now is your heart is wanting to obey. And is that true? You know, you have yeah, Dad, I do. I want to obey you. Okay, great. I believe that. And so I'm going to assume that. So what we're going to do, when I give you a command that you don't like and you give me that, I'm going to stop what I'm doing and call it to your attention and say, you know, you've just given me that body language again, which I'm sure you don't intend. At that point, what I want you to do is apologize, because you're getting time now to receive that, is apologize for the reaction, gives you time to think through it. Wow, I truly don't want to do that. I don't even realize how I'm reacting to you. You know, it's just habit. I've been doing this for the last 8 years and now it's just part of me. So I want you to change that, respond in an appropriate way with a cheerful face and a cheerful attitude as you go and do that. So first apologize for your reaction, and then you can go on and do it. So you're retraining, and what you're trying to do is break down the bad habit. You can help him to learn the good habit of cheerful obedience. So you say, that's what we're trying to do. Can you see what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to help you learn the good habit of cheerful obedience, and this is how we're going to do it. So we're working as a team. And we mustn't tolerate anything but cheerful obedience. We really shouldn't. That's the standard. I want cheerful obedience, and that's where I'm going to hold it. So we can shift incrementally, and there's a step that we're taking now. We're trying to get cheerful obedience and expecting it. Now, you haven't given up leadership. You're not compromising at this stage. But you must always maintain your right to rule. That must be critical in your thinking. I have the right to rule in this situation, and I expect obedience, and I expect that standard to be met. That's what you mean by right to rule. You're working with your son, with your 8-year-old son here, to achieve this good goal, one that is honorable and worthy. And he knows and can see the objective clearly. And you can keep it before his eyes and encourage him toward that goal. So when you give him a command and he doesn't, you encourage him and say, hey, that was great. You didn't give me that attitude. This is great. And so you're encouraging and you're working together toward this goal, and you keep explaining, why are we trying to get to this goal? What it means for the kingdom, what it means for character and godliness, and how it's going to impact his life, and what it means for him in future generations, you know, all that kind of stuff. You're keeping the vision there. There's reason and purpose toward this goal. You're also showing him patience and giving him time to deal with his habit. Sometimes people have learned a bad habit of reacting. So you're giving him time to think through that habit. Oh, I reacted again. Let me try and control that. Now, if his heart is opposed to being under your authority, and his bad habit is willful, and so you give him the time and you say, okay, I want you to apologize. He knows the setup. And you say, okay, I've given you time, and he still resists that. Now we've got a different issue. Now what he's doing, he's actually challenging your right to rule, saying you have no right to be an authority over me. It goes back to the garden. Adam and Eve saying, you have no right, God, to tell me I can and can't with respect to this tree. You have no right. Okay, so we're going back to that serious situation and that fall. So suddenly you realize your right to rule, your authority in the family has been challenged. Your position is being challenged and God's position is being challenged. Now it suddenly takes on a different flavor. Okay, you've given the grace, you've given the period, you're trying to help him work through this habit, but now this is not habit. This is just defiance. So when he doesn't do that, and he's challenged your right to rule over him, he's challenging ultimately God's authority, and secondly your authority, and he's cast down the challenge. That's what he's done. I want you to pick that up. You've just reacted. You need to respond appropriately to this reaction. Do you realize what you just did? And the attitude is still there. That's a challenge. Challenge the authority. Now your response has to be one. How am I going to respond to the challenge? And at that point, once you've gone through all the preparation and you've explained all the details and you've laid it out, then there's only one response to that challenge. And that is to reestablish your right to rule in his thinking. And that is done with the rod. I have the authority. You have rejected that authority. Therefore, I'm implementing the correction that God says is given in order to reestablish in your thinking my right to rule. And then, because that's what he has done is foolish. To rebel against a parent is the height of foolishness. And so when the parent establishes his right to rule, that's how he does it, with the rod. And that's for a kingdom purpose. Once again, it's dominion. Once again, it's understanding the seriousness of what has just taken place. That challenge to authority is an incredibly serious challenge. So you deal with that with the rod. Mistakes, habits, forgetfulness, immaturity are usually not direct challenges against authority. You can have a child with bad habits, and you've told them to do something and their habit is to get distracted and stuff, but they're not necessarily backing the authority at that stage. So you want to establish a policy. You know, we talked about testing in one of our earlier lectures. This is where it comes in. That's what you're doing. When you're saying, I'm giving you this grace period to deal with this bad habit because I realize this is a habit. But when that grace period is scorned or scoffed at and not used, then you have to deal with it. But the goal is always, I want to win their heart. I want to win their heart and take them with me to this wonderful goal, to this end, to that God has given. This dominion end is a glorious thing. And I want us to move together down this path and achieve that end. So you keep that in mind as you set up the baby steps to the goal. This is what you're trying to accomplish. I'm not trying to get picture-perfect child that I can parade at the ITCHE conference on the stage and show people what a wonderful child I've produced. That's not the goal. The goal is that you're winning their hearts and leading them to maturity for the purpose of dominion. That's all it is. And this is how you do it. These are the incremental steps. And you take these small steps and you work with those small steps. For example, you can tell your child, a small child, go and tidy your room. To them, it's like somebody saying to you, go and tidy your messy garage. And it's kind of, whoa, this is just a mountain job. It's kind of overwhelming. So you realize, okay, I need to even train the detail. I mean, I'm talking about small steps. I need to even maybe train this child how to tidy their room. It's not so, to us, it might be self-evident. Okay, I just want you to pull this room into order. What do I do? No, I'm going to show you. I'm going to take you through the steps, and then I'm going to help build these habits. Because a child might have many different bad habits that are not connected to rebellion against you. He's not blowing you off. But he has a brain like a butterfly. You know, just flits around, and suddenly he's distracted. And so he was told to go and pick up the Lego, and he's making a spacecraft. And it's not like I'm defying that. It's kind of this bad habit of being easily distracted from what he's supposed to do. Or different things you can be distracted. You know, you can be procrastinated and that becomes a habit. I just can't face it, you know. I've got to start, but oh man, this other thing just looks so interesting before I start. So you've got all these kinds of habits and you've got to try and train them out of it. So suddenly, you know, the Lego turns into an issue now because there really is bad habits. And it might just be defiance. The training needs to be, okay, I'm going to train you how to pick up this Lego. This is what tidying the room looks like. Let's go through it. And by the way, saying pick up your Lego once a month is not training a habit of picking their Lego up. Training takes time. It takes incremental steps, regularly repeated, and you go through it to establish this habit of doing the job. You might have trained your child to listen to tone rather than words. Don't jump on the chair. Don't jump on the chair. Don't jump on the chair. Okay, here's that one. You've trained them. You've trained them a certain decibel. They respond. And if you see a kid doing that and responding only on that certain decibel, don't think that child's untrained. Think, wow, he's been trained. Because he knows. What might be the count, you know? Fifth time, I got to do it. The first four, I can kind of get away with it. But we're training. So when we retrain, we need to realize the training that we have done in the past and we've established habits in their lives, and we need to say, hey, I got to break these things incrementally. And so that's how it's done. So it's in the same way with facial expression. You give the grace period and you train it in a certain way, but there comes a point where you realize this person is just playing games. Okay, so if that's the case, then what are they doing? They're defying your right to rule, and there's only one way to reestablish the right to rule, and that is the rod, because foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. I think you want first-time obedience. There's no need to play games. So it's incremental. I mean, you can't just expect. So you want a child to sit still. What do? You realize, what's the purpose? What's the goal? How do I do it? This child can't sit still. We had a child, I remember teaching this little guy. He couldn't sit still for 2 minutes, literally. And we were in a conventional kind of classroom setting, which is just disastrous if a child can't sit still. Sitting up to the window, he'd run there and come back. You know, he was just absolutely, that was his character. He wasn't trying to be, he was the nicest little guy as well. The nicest little guy. But he couldn't sit still. How do you train a child to sit still? I used to be involved in a Christian school. So you want to untrain the bad habits. So then you explain, okay, you need to sit still for these reasons. This is the goal. And now how are we going to do this? We're going to practice. And, you know, whatever. I I'd like you to sit still when I'm doing devotions, and so we're going to work to get there. This is a goal, okay? I'd really like this to happen, and this is how we're going to do it. Mom's going to practice with you, or I'm going to practice with you when I come home, and you're going to just sit for a minute, 2 minutes, whatever, and we're going to... It's a game, but it's a training. You're training in habit. You can sit and you extend the time, and you're building it slowly. Incremental baby steps that can achieve this. You know, you've got the bottom line. Okay, you got up, you're impulsive, but hey, that's what I mean by baby steps. I'm using very basic illustrations, but I think these same things can be applied to a wide, I would say, every aspect of our lives, that we realize, I'm not where I should be. Let's make incremental steps. You know, I'm not praying enough. Okay, well, tomorrow I suggest you wake up at 4, and then you get in a good hour and a half prayer before anything else happens. To my mind, that's not sustainable. Set little steps, little goals, for whatever we're trying to develop in our lives. We set these incremental steps and goals, and something that's achievable, and it's something that I can see and measure, and I've achieved something, and we need to do the same when we're training our children. The child is at still, and you encourage him when he does it, and he manages to get through the time, and you're working towards the goal, you keep the goal in front of him. This is why we want to do it. You need to be able to listen. If you can't listen to me, how can I train you? How can I disciple you if you do not listen to me and you cannot sit still for 2 minutes in order for me to give you some instruction? So there's goals, you see. So you see, keeping the dominion and the way to achieve it in your eye, in front of your eyes, you're constantly forced in one channel, really. I've got to reach this goal. I've got to accomplish it. Now, thinking back, and well, how do I accomplish it? It's important so you don't just suddenly dump this weight on a kid that's got really bad habits. So that's not what you're trying to accomplish in that way. You're going to lead them to it. But all the time, keeping the situation positive and encouraging to finally reach your goal. So you want them to practice these things and internalize them. And it takes repetition, constant, time-consuming repetition. That's what's so killing about it, in order to achieve those goals. But if you see the ultimate purpose, then I believe you get the energy for doing what you're doing. And when there's rebellion, then you reestablish your right to rule. So discipleship is training for dominion. And in order to do that, we need our children's hearts, which means their hearts must be brought home. Our children's life, you know, life in the sense of that's life and purpose and enjoyment, should not exist outside the home. Should not be goals outside the home that they find more attractive and more satisfying. Because then you've got this constant competition as to what you're trying to accomplish. Because what you're trying to accomplish is what? Family. Why? For dominion. How do you understand what a family is and function in a family and learn what that means other than being in a family, other than escaping from the family, you know? That's not what we're trying to accomplish. It's setting up a practice and a habit of escaping from this confinement in order to really experience and enjoy life. So we need to be careful of that. We can set up a system where that becomes the goal. So the family is not meant to be treading water. We're not just treading water until the children are married. This is the thrust and cutting edge, and so we want to be involved in handling the family in that way. And part of having our children's hearts at home and keeping them at home, is part of it is wrapped up in this vision and the purpose, this common goal. This, while each family differs in their dominion calling in the specific sense, they all have a dominion calling. And that vision, I believe, is critical to having their hearts. So dominion through the family. Always looking to ways to be effective in this task and applying ourselves as a family unit to this task according to our abilities, opportunities, and resources. So I believe God gave us hearts that will respond to meaningful vision. I believe it is. Meaningful vision and purpose. I exist for this purpose. And this is what we are doing. And this is how we're going about doing it. And even vision. How do we get a vision? Well, it sometimes comes very slowly. It becomes something that's built. And it's baby steps. And we move in that direction. And maybe we're just praying in the first place. Guys, what do you think God wants us to do as a family? How can we impact the kingdom? What are our resources? What are our abilities? What are our opportunities? What are the things we can do? And so you're praying along those lines. And maybe the vision grows, and it might change direction, but that's the goal, and that's what you're aiming at and wanting to accomplish. So we need to protect our children from living for the peer group, or living for the next party, living for the next event. We need to realize the family is critical to the whole dominion task, and we understand this. We're not making them slaves at home. We're giving them vision, kingdom vision, and purpose. And so we're trying to accomplish that. Because if their eyes and vision is on outside the family, we're actually undermining not only our family, but future families. Because somehow this family unit is now not satisfying. You know, I endure the family, I wait for my events. And so that we need to guard against that. I don't know how, you know, I can't define what those look like. You just have to be sensitive in yourself, be aware of that danger and this, protect against it. So discipleship requires structure, order, focus, and vision. And all of these are achieved by baby steps. But steps need to be being taken as we move in that direction. And as God matures us and we understand more, we realize, okay, we need to be shifting. And Lord willing, the next generation will be a lot more focused than our generation, with a lot more ability. That's a very brief overview of discipleship, but I hope it was a little bit dusty in the sense that it gives some tools, probably lots of what you already know, but just encouraging you on those ways to shift and focus.